It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Yeah. Is it just me or did that go faster than usual?
It did go a little faster than usual.
It seemed fast.
Yeah.
Maybe just pick longer videos normally. Hello and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat. The only podcast that is at the start of the food chain.
You mean at the very bottom of it?
Yeah. We come right before the sun.
Before the sun?
Yes.
Oh.
The sun draws energy from our podcast.
Mm.
And then the sun's energy makes the plants grow, and the animals
and
eat the plants, and
starts.
The asshole animals eat the other animals. That's yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. Basically, we're responsible for life.
You'd think we'd have more listeners.
I would. I frequently would. To be fair, we don't market our life-giving powers super well.
No, that's true.
I mean, how many episodes? So what is this one?
This is episode 121.
And we've yet to have mentioned it before.
You'd kind of think, I mean, why would it, should speak for itself, really.
Well, at least it should come up in, like, junior high science class.
Yeah.
That was... so I work for... Okay, I should get the other shit out of it first. All right. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat, blah, 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 Stars of the Food Chain. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
Episode 121. If you just showed up, that's weird because this is a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
But welcome to part two. We have a hat. It's magic. It has its own email. Email that hat. It's magicaltalkinghat@gmail.com with questions, comments, things like that, so that they can magically be transformed into little note cards that have that information on it, and we pull them out of the hat. Less magically, but still magically. And read them till we're bored. That's the whole premise of the show. Are you up to speed? Good. Now, let me get back to what I was saying. So today, I'm doing some stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk too much about work, but I'm putting together some things, and there's a question of certain test items and whether or not they need what's called background knowledge. And so it's knowledge that, like, this was science, and is basically other scientific knowledge that they wouldn't necessarily know that you need beforehand in order to answer the questions.
Okay.
That sort of is unrelated to the question, but still critical information. In this particular case, it involved light refraction, I think, on a biology question, basically. But it still pertained. And so the question was whether or not this was common knowledge or not. And just for fun, the person asked me, I was making photocopies of it or whatever, but they wanted to know what I thought. And I was really torn, because the fact in question was, and this is just an example, there could be other things like this, that light colors reflect more light. You know, like white, like black absorbs light.
Yes, yes, right.
And I was torn, because I'm like, it's common knowledge to me now, but I'm fairly certain I learned it either in school science class or watching, like, a PBS science show.
Okay, well.
So the question is this something that you have to learn in science class, or is this common knowledge? And I'm like, well, it's common for me now.
Couldn't it be common because everybody learns it in school?
I don't know. That's,
I mean, that's, does it have to be
question.
Common because it's just
know.
Something that everyone experiences, and that's... I mean, yeah. but learning something in school is also an experience.
Theoretically.
So
but it was a very difficult question for me to answer. Luckily, my answer didn't affect anything. So.
Well, it's July 4th.
Yes.
Which is in the United States, we celebrate the birth of our nation and independence of Protestant white men from the rule of Britain.
Slave owning, property owning Protestant white men.
Well, some of them were, but the point was that the free ones were the Protestant white men.
Yes.
If you were a woman of whatever race or religion, no, not so much.
No. We hold these truths to be self-evident.
If you were not white, not so much. If you were Native American or if you were of African descent, not so much.
If you were Catholic, you were probably fucked.
Yeah, that's right.
Which
generally means if you were Irish or Italian,
you were
in bad shape.
Not that we're bitter.
I'm just putting it in historical context here.
Yes.
Technically, in 1776, July 4th, when independence was
declared,
and a war ensued, eventually, all men who were created equal were Protestant white men, specifically.
Yes.
And men did not include women. I mean, it was men. And black men and, Native American men.
I do think you could make the argument that some of the Protestant white men were possibly agnostic.
Well,
but
not
certainly
Catholic
not
anyway.
Catholic.
Yeah, not Catholic anyway.
Or any other fun religion.
And it took a long time.
I'm not implying Catholicism is fun, by the way. I don't really know what
it took a long
there.
Time for any of those other people. You know, I was thinking about this last week that. Independence Day, July 4th, it seems like...
By last week, he means right now for us.
Stop that. Because we're time traveling. You keep forgetting that.
Don't make me do the Doctor Who theme again.
That in a way, there are certain groups in the United States who technically have a different Independence Day than July 4th.
Fucking Canadians?
No, for women, Independence Day should...
The day that... Which amendment? I forget. The one that got him the vote. Is it the 20th?
It was in 1920 that it was...
Well, I don't remember what number
19th
of amendment.
In 1920?
No, I thought 19th Amendment was prohibition.
Oh, wait. Maybe it was. It's pretty sad that we don't know.
It is. We are terrible white men.
We should be ashamed.
Actually, we're very good white men. We're terrible human beings.
But what... You know, it was in 1920 that they got the right to vote. So they haven't been full Americans for as long as white men have been. You know, 237 years, I guess, for Protestant white men, and a lot shorter period of time for women.
Also black dudes.
Yeah. Well, I think African American men had the vote before women did.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it still took them a while.
Yeah, that's right. It took them a while also.
The whole,
slavery thing. Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's, it was an issue.
There's technically, really, there are several Independence Days, but we only celebrate the one.
And children are still not independent.
No.
They will have an Independence Day after the plague.
I wonder if I'm making people angry by talking about this.
Out the,
do you think so? Do you think?
I don't think so. You might be bumming some of them out. I don't know that you're making them angry. Fireworks are nice, aren't they?
Yeah, and watermelon.
This is another thing. I now, when I'm addressing the listeners, I don't look at you, I look at the mic.
Yes, you do look at the microphone.
I don't know that is excessively conveyed
probably not.
Them. So, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Watermelon, I'm not into watermelon.
I like watermelon quite a bit.
Most people like watermelon.
Yeah.
That is the real thing. Watermelon flavoring, there's a whole other world there, and we know that sucks.
You said you don't like, what was it, once you said you don't like cantaloupe?
I don't like melon.
And, but there was something else you don't like.
Well, yeah, there's many
things.
No,
but, like. But you mentioned it, and I found out later that they're actually related, those two foods. Cucumbers.
Cantaloupe and cucumber
are
related?
They're actually related.
Interesting.
And you are, one broadcast, you were saying that you didn't like those things, and I didn't even, he doesn't like cantaloupe, he doesn't like cucumber, but then I researched it, and I found out they're related to one another.
I can tolerate really good cantaloupe, but it's very rare. I'm not into it. And melon as a whole. Watermelon's a different animal. I still don't like it. I still won't, like, seek it out. Every once in a while, somebody's like, oh, this watermelon is incredible. I'm like, okay, I'll have a slice, and I'll eat it, and I'll be like, eh, okay.
Yeah, I really like watermelon. Doesn't
do it. I can understand. I feel like, I kind of wish I did. I feel like I should.
Why?
Because on paper, it's a food I would really enjoy.
Because it's sweet and, watery and melts in your mouth.
Exactly.
All those. And when you buy it, it comes in a huge quantity.
Yes. And
you're right, on paper, it's
perfect
for you. There's
a very simple recipe wherein you just cut a small hole and you upturn a fifth of vodka into it and then wait like 3 days.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Oh, no, apparently it's amazing.
Yeah. No.
It's like nature's Jello shot.
Yeah. I mean, I realize I've never had any alcohol, can, so maybe it's not fair for me, but it just sounds terrible.
You can also do it with a
awful.
A beef roast, like a rump roast. You cut a small hole in it, and you tip a fifth of vodka, and you let it sit for 3 days. I don't think you could really do that. But
whatever.
A wheel of cheese, you cut a hole in it, and you tip. A three-year-old child, you cut a hole in them.
Alcohol.
And you tip a... You're kind of judgy about alcohol for having never experienced it.
I don't... Judgy about alcohol? What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, you got that look on your face.
I know,
like,
because...
Alcohol.
I know, it just makes me feel...
You don't know.
Well, but I suppose I have the same reaction to it that a lot of people have to other things that they're not interested in ingesting, like squid or whatever.
It's well, just there's like, a difference between not being interested and being disgusted by.
Well, I suppose it's because, you know...
When people came to me and said... You know, we could put cucumbers in this beef roast. I wouldn't be like, ugh. I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm probably not going to eat any.
It's probably because there are two things that lead to that reaction. One, whenever I've been in a situation where I could smell like beer or any other kind of liquor, it does make me, it makes me feel a little sick just smelling it. And so I've just associated this kind of, you know, sickening feeling with that. But also, I also psychologically, like, you know, when you're at a potluck or something and someone has fruit, especially melon or something like that, and it sat there for a couple hours and you taste it, it can have a sour kind of almost a prickly feel on your tongue because it's fermenting a little bit.
Ah, and, so you have had alcohol.
Well, I don't
fermented
know.
Fruit. And also through your sinuses.
It's more of a, it's kind of more vinegary at that point. But the point is, I associate rotting things with alcohol. So I think that's why I have that
response. That's very weird.
Response. Although, I mean, like you were mentioning vodka. And my understanding is vodka actually, if it's made properly and if it's high quality, it doesn't have any smell or any particular taste even.
It's arguable. There is a smell and a taste to alcohol. And so that's still present. But yeah, no, it's very, very clean stuff, if it's good stuff.
So, you know, technically that...
It's why it's often used for that kind of stuff. If
right,
it's like
right.
You want to make it alcoholic but not change the flavor.
But, I mean, really, when you think about it...
You could cut a hole in a watermelon and tip a fifth of rum in there, I suppose, too. But then that would be a very different contraption.
Right. When you think about it, alcohol, like anything other than beer and wine... Like, you know, brandy.
Distilled versus fermented.
Is kind of, it's the same process as vodka. And for a lot of those things, what gives them their distinct flavor or their character that makes them a whiskey, for example, is actually stuff added back in.
Yeah.
From previous in the process.
I used to be under the impression that which grain you used determined which kind of alcohol it was, and that's not true at all.
No, not true at all. Although it can have a bearing on... back in Tennessee, it's kind of a new thing where people are making moonshine and they're like selling it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
In shops, and in the process of making moonshine, you distill it a number of times, and you do take some of what you get in the first or second distillation, and you put it in the finished product, so that it will have a mild buttery corn flavor. But if you just distill it your end product is essentially going to be vodka if you just do that.
And, yeah.
But if you put stuff back in it, or if you put it in a particular kind of barrel and let it age for a little while, those are the things that give it a specific flavor more than the grain that you start with, or fruit or whatever it is. Because it's just a distillation process. Whatever impurities you leave in it or add back into it or get into it through what you store it in, that's what it's all about. Which I find really odd. I find that whole thing really strange.
It's a very, it's as complex as food preparation. Like there's a real art form to it, and it's very interesting.
But what I mean is, it often makes me wonder, why not just drink the vodka like end product? You know, why spend time with something that's
and a
only,
lot of people do.
That's true, but why? You know, I don't get the whole part about stopping in the middle when there's impurities in it, or putting it in a barrel so that you can taste of the barrel, basically, or
it's just a flavor issue. For some people, it's not. For people for whom it is about getting the alcohol inside of them, vodka is one of the more common things, or equivalent therein, malt liquor beverages that just taste like something else, you know. But for a lot of people, it is about the specific flavor. I somewhat enjoy rum. I really don't like scotch. Because there are specific flavors, and I enjoy some and not others. I used to think I did not like gin at all. I've since discovered apparently I just don't like juniper berries. Because there are some gins that are made with other things. I actually had one that was made, I think, with cucumbers or whatever. It was a very nice little gin there. It's about the flavor. And, of course, in the fermented stuff, it's very much the wines, that's a huge thing. And beers, that's a growing thing, too. You get that with hard liquors as well.
Wines and beers are kind of different, it seems to me. They're kind of different animals.
But the flavor note issue is still there.
No, but that's what I mean. For beers and wines, the flavor note issue, as you're saying, it makes more sense to me.
Yeah, no, it is still there in the other stuff.
Yeah, that's what I find really unusual, because it seems like beers and wines are alcoholic almost incidentally, whereas these things, they're distilled specifically to make alcohol that, you know.
Well, to be honest, that's why the fermented stuff was fermented, was specifically to make alcohol.
Well, I know, but
there is a non-alcoholic wine and beer market. It's very small.
No, yeah, I know that.
And it's usually for people who, for some reason, they very much want to avoid alcohol.
Yeah. Well, like they're alcoholic, for example, but yes, they want to drink something that's...
Or they don't believe in drinking or whatever. Yeah. It's a, you know, you can have the sparkling cider at New Year's kind of thing, you know.
Which is very tasty, by the way.
Yeah. But few people are like, you know what? I prefer the flavor of the non-alcoholic one.
No, I realize that. I realize that.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't studied it as much. There was a British show I watched that went around doing stuff about wine. And first they did it in France, and then they did it in California. And then they went to the UK, and they didn't just do it about wine, then they did it about all sorts of different alcoholic beverages. And so I learned some interesting things there about different kinds, ciders and meads and whiskeys and things like that.
Well, the thing about beers and wines, though, is it's my understanding, and I could be wrong about this, but you know, some historical sources that I've seen, again, the fermentation of these things, it's not so much that they, you know, the fermentation process ensured that it wasn't harmful to drink. It wasn't so much about we want to make something that will give people a buzz, whereas the distillation process seems to be completely for that purpose. Like, we're trying to make a beverage that will inebriate people. I guess that's where I'm coming from. One, like I said, it's alcoholic kind of incidentally, kind of in the historical context. And the other one is, okay, we want to make something that's going to get us inebriated. And so it would seem that just taking some organic matter that will create, that has sugars in it that will become alcohols, and distilling it down to its purest form would just be what they did. And all of this intermediary stuff where you care about what kind of barrel you put it in because of how it's going to taste, or you care about putting some impurities back into it, that seems to be it seems to be outside of the context of, well, we just want to make something that's going to get people drunk. I don't know.
I won't argue the point regardless of what I think of the history I know that I don't really know.
Yeah.
So assuming for a moment that all that is correct, what I can tell you now is that beer and wine are much more involved now in making it to be inebriated. Not entirely, but it's much further down that spectrum than it would have been.
No, I agree with that.
And
I sure do.
Distilled spirits are much further back the other way of caring about what it tastes like.
Yeah, yeah. You're probably right about that. I mean, now that I think about it, since a lot of these distilled liquors are about impurities, it might have been just that this was just the product that came out and people got used to it and liked it, and then they decided, how can we do this more deliberately so that it'll taste
possibly better? And globalization also probably became an issue because originally you are where you are, you discover how to make distilled beverage and you discover one kind and you make it.
Right.
So they make whiskey in Europe and they make rum in, you know, Pacific Islands and stuff like that. And then at a certain point people start traveling around and you're like, dude, this stuff also fucks you up. It tastes totally different, though. It's a totally different flavor.
Now, that's another thing. Obviously, right away, people were realizing, if I drink too much of this stuff, it'll, you know, get me drunk, and maybe they saw that this was a good thing. But do you think culturally speaking, that was by and large... we think of drinking a lot and getting inebriated, especially in this country, as being a positive thing, a fun thing, or whatever. But that's not necessarily... Not all cultures are going to think that. I mean, some cultures might think that, okay, we like this this alcoholic beverage because of certain qualities, but don't drink too much of it because then you're going to start acting stupid, and that's... We don't like that. We don't value that.
Depends on how much it's the external. Because the problem is, when you're talking about the level of both biological and societal understanding at that point, in terms of academic understanding of this, from an individual, I think this tastes good, so I start drinking it, maybe even regularly, and at a certain point I'm going to notice this kind of stuff, when I drink it, it makes me feel happy, it makes me feel relaxed, it makes me feel comfortable.
Okay, but you don't normally have to have very much of it for that to happen. Then there's a point past which maybe you're feeling more happy and more of these things, but there's a cost, maybe in terms of how you behave, and now you have to deal with that the next day, or a hangover the next morning. And so that those things might, I mean, in our culture, the next day people are kind of laughing about all of that, and it's no big deal. Yeah. But you can imagine a culture that would think, no, that's bad form, that's very irresponsible. I mean, getting a buzz is one thing, and that's fine, but, you know, so that...
Because I would think that would be a thing.
Because, you know...
And I think there are some cultures that are like that. But as long as you still are tolerating even moderate use of it...
Right, but...
After you've had that three drinks, there's still going to be somebody who's like, you know, if three drinks feels good...
No, I realize that.
Even if you were hungover the last time.
No, that's right, but for some places, the reason they tolerate moderate use is because, well, you can't drink the water because it's got microbes in it and it'll make you sick. I mean, you're drinking this wine not just because you think it tastes good and it gives you a buzz, but because really that's all there is to drink.
Choice,
I mean,
for hydration.
Yeah, this is what you have to drink. And so that's why there's a certain tolerance of, but there could be a limit to how much, you know, is tolerated there, and the culture could really...
Well, I wonder how that goes then, because then the real fuck-ups become the ones who need the most hydration.
The people with
the sweatiest jobs have to get drunk the most.
The alcohol in these things is dehydrating, really. So, you know, you can't drink too much of it and be hydrated by it, because eventually you're going to... That's what a hangover is, you get dehydrated.
And I think in ancient cultures there was... they would water it down in a lot of cases.
Yeah, right.
So, like, as you were saying, is in order to avoid spoilage, you basically get the ratio so there's just enough alcohol to kill things, and then you can still make it work.
And
that was your day-to-day drink, was watered wine, for example. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the just wine was for special occasions. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know. But I mean, you're always socially, if you've got alcohol and you're okay with it in any fashion, the society is always going to bump up against the individual psychological issues with any drug.
Yeah, that's right.
You're always, I mean, yeah. For lack of a better term, you're always going to have alcoholics if you allow alcohol.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that worked. But no, I think you're right. I mean, I think there are some cultures, well, even today, there are some cultures where, I mean, even in modern society, like in Japan, first of all, I think there is actually a genetic thing where alcoholism as an actual medical condition is very low. But huge, like, binge drinking is fairly common cultural phenomenon in Japan. People go out and just drink their asses off.
Interesting.
And I think that's partially tied into the work ethic and thing like that. It's people, there tends to be sort of high stress in jobs and stuff, and so then you cut loose really hard and stuff like that. Right. But yeah, no, so I always think that's going to be a thing. For the record, neither of us has had anything to drink for this podcast. Should we go to the hat?
Yeah, I guess we should.
All right, let's do that.
That was probably a very boring conversation for
everybody. I wasn't bored with you talking about it, so that's a good sign.
That, is it?
Because most of the time I'm bored with whatever you have to say.
Kia B says, "Dear the Magical Talking Hat,
yes.
What do you look for in a computer desktop wallpaper?
A fiendishly smiling baby." I have issues with this.
Well,
I have difficulties with
this. I'll just say right off the bat, I'm not a wallpaper person. I mean, you know, I don't get on my computer and think, oh, I want a theme, I want certain colors, I want a certain wallpaper. I'm really not that kind of person.
I very much am that kind of person.
Not now. I have had wallpapers.
But I'm indecisive about
it. Like, I wanted to write a Wonder Woman story. Remember when I was doing
that?
Yeah. And for inspiration, I did go out and find a nice Wonder Woman background that I would see as soon as I turned on my computer to sort of put me in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
But that was a very specific kind of thing. And before that, I didn't, you know, really have a background or care about that. So I don't really, I guess though, to answer the question, if I am looking for a wallpaper, which is a very rare circumstance, I'm looking for something that I'll find inspirational for whatever I'm working on, I guess. Yeah.
I used to like to make them back when I would, you know, use MS Paint stuff and just draw stuff. Or the common one was I'd take like a bunch of photos or pictures I found and crop them and like stick them in sort of a collage and do that back long, long time ago. Nowadays, for many years now, it's been a photo of some sort. I mean, photos of my cats, and right now, photo of a fiendishly evil-looking baby that I'm related to, who's much older now. I should probably switch. I keep saying I should switch it, but that's the thing. I like coming up with stuff. I'm too lazy. And I really feel like the backgrounds that come with the thing are just boring.
Well, okay.
And I'm too lazy to go out and find wallpaper.
You're right about that. When I get a new computer and it just has the Windows logo or something back there, sometimes I do get annoyed enough with that I'll find something.
Yeah.
And it'll be, like I said, something that, like, I remember when we worked together, I think I had a Batman, an Alex Ross Batman wallpaper for the whole time I worked there. And it sort of went with my...
Did you leave before they stopped allowing you to pick?
Oh, no, I didn't. Did they do that?
Yeah.
Huh. No, I must not have, because I kind of remember that now that you mentioned it. But I had a Batman wallpaper, Alex Ross, and it kind of went with my mouse pad, because I had a Batman mouse pad.
Fancy.
So, you know, now that I'm talking about this, it seems like I always have some kind of wallpaper, but I still don't think of myself as a...
you're a liar.
Yeah, well, I still don't think of myself as a wallpaper person, because I don't put a lot of thought into it or anything. I
hope there's not too many people who think of themselves as wallpaper people.
What I mean is,
you know?
A lot of people who could answer this question or care about this question, like, you know, they probably change, like, the other adult lives in my house, she changes her wallpaper very often, photos or, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's, she cares about the theme and the background and her computer, and she changes it often.
Out of curiosity,
but I don't.
How many eyes does she have?
Eyes. Two.
How many horns does she
have?
What
are you talking about?
How many horns?
None.
So she's not a... Well, wait, can she fly?
What are you talking about?
What color is she? I'm attempting to find out if she is a one-eyed, one-horned, flying wallpaper eater.
Because basically what I'm saying is that if I don't like what comes with the machine, which I usually don't, I'll put one wallpaper up, and that'll be it. And it'll be whatever I feel like at the time, and I won't even think about it after that.
That sounds like you.
But you change
what
yours.
I miss. Time. Yeah, but I've had this one for like. Yeah. I mean, like I said, the kid's older. I put it up when it was taken. she's quite a bit older now. What I miss, are screensavers.
Why?
As there used to be fascinating different kinds of screensavers.
I guess.
Creative ones and mesmerizing ones and interactive ones. And those were a lot of fun.
I think one of the first wallpapers, like on the computer I have now, when I first got it, and again, saw the Windows logo, I thought, I don't want that. Heavenly Sword wallpaper. And that was the wallpaper I had on there until, like, I don't know, I think, about a year ago when I put a Wonder Woman one up there. I mean, that was there for a long time, and I just didn't change it. I mean, it was cool wallpaper and everything, but Heavenly Sword, I mean, come on, that's pretty old. And I never changed it.
One of the initial titles for the PS3.
Because I thought Heavenly Sword was a great game. I thought the main character was a great, strong female character. And the wallpaper was cool. So.
Like Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
really. And Batman.
Well, he's not female, obviously. But.
He's a very strong female character.
All right. Moving on, then?
Bat Boy. Something about Irish dancing?
Do you have anything else to say about wallpapers? Because if you don't, we should draw something else.
And this may have inspired me. By the time this actually airs, I may have changed my wallpaper. This may inspire me.
Well, good.
And that evil baby is starting to creep me out. It's a hilarious picture. I should post it on the forum. Although, here's the thing. A week ago, 2 weeks ago now, I posted my new future meme.
Yeah.
Nobody even made a comment about it. Nobody even mentioned it, let alone was helpful.
Yep.
Apparently, three-year-olds innocently flipping people off just doesn't carry the cachet that it used to.
Maybe they didn't feel like he looked so innocent.
Oh, he's a sweetheart. He is. He was showing his dad what finger he hurt. He was. He's like, I hurt my finger. He's like, it was this one. I did that one time. This is going to be a visual gag, so you're going to have to play along at home, people. Hold up your right hand, okay? Palm facing you, all right? And then pull in your pinky and your ring finger. So you're holding up your thumb, index finger, middle finger. Again, the palm is facing you, so the now folded in fingers are on your side of things. At the place we used to work together, I had a coworker who was very nice woman, very tough woman, was born and raised in South Chicago, had become very tough, was also a very religious woman. At this point, apostolic Christian, very strong held beliefs, but she was also very nice. But you know, you didn't swear around her and stuff like this.
Yeah,
you watched out for that. And I one day was holding my hand in this position I have mentioned because I was talking to her about three things. I believe it was three agencies, which was a type of entity within the system, and we had one, two, and three. And I was attempting to explain that somehow two had been deleted. And I was using the visual aid in front of me, and I had one, two, three, and I put down my
index finger
indicate this right in front of her, like
middle finger
right at her.
Was still up and your thumb extended, yeah.
And I did that, And we both sort of in unison looked down at my hand and then back up at each other. And then I said, oh, I am so sorry. And she burst out laughing. And later everybody was like, what did you do? And I was like, I flipped so-and-so off. And they were like, what? I was like, I know! It wasn't on purpose!
I think I know who you're talking about. She was a great person.
She was.
I really liked her.
We talk like she's dead. I'm pretty sure she's around. No, yeah, we just don't work with her anymore. Yeah. All right. New question.
Yep.
I hope this is a good one or I'm going to cry. I'm warning you guys now.
I hope that doesn't happen because I hate seeing you cry.
Mm.
Are you going to cry now?
Maybe just whimper.
Okay.
This is from...
That I can deal with.
I'll give you a hint who it's from.
Okay.
It's not our favorite Kia. It is a hard hat, though. And I believe this hard hat's badge number is 0001.
Badge number?
Badge number. You're ineligible to join because you're the producer.
So this is from Mark, you mean?
You dole out the badge numbers, dear.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. She seems very proud of that.
You could arguably be badge 0000. The source badge.
The source badge.
In fact, literally, all badges are just a shitty photocopy of her badge. They get worse. They do. Yeah, this is hard hat number one. And also, I think I'm being generous by putting 4 digits in the number.
Yes, very generous.
His badge number is 01.
01, yeah, let's be honest.
Yeah. Maybe even 1. When we get that 10th hard hat, we are screwed. Yeah, it's like Y2K.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
What are we
going to
do?
Anyway, hard hat number one, Mark McKibben, said to us via note card, "Dear vocal extensions of the magical talking hat."
That would be us.
"What think would happen if you met with your alternate universe counterparts?"
What?
What think would happen?
What do heck? Okay, what do we think would happen, I'm sure?
Yes. Well, I what think would... I'm assuming, because, you know, given the possibility of an infinite number of alternate universes... I feel like that would take a really long time to explain. I feel like he's probably talking about our evil counterparts that do the mystery episodes.
Yes, that do the mystery episodes. I'm sure that's what he means.
I feel it would be very straightforward in that you and I, here now, would give them each a penny, and they would take them.
And not give us one back.
And it would be fine. And... we would be good enough that we'd be okay with that, and, you know, then it would be over.
You know, I'm really surprised by how much you used that bit, because...
I talked about that bit at the store the other day.
I didn't think you thought that was a very good bit.
No, I feel like it so beautifully encapsulates you. Like, it's another one of those "that's so Raven, I mean William" kind of thing, where I'm like, William is so William... The evil version of William, exactly the same, but takes pennies, doesn't leave them.
Well,
that's your, like, poorly cut out fake goatee, spirit gummed on, you know?
Okay, so what would happen? I mean...
Well...
I don't think they like us. I mean, I've gotten the impression that...
I feel like it depends on which... paradigm we're using. In some versions, we all explode immediately.
Yeah, right. Well, assuming that doesn't happen, because then we don't have anything to talk about.
All right. A very interesting bridge game.
Oh, I don't know how to play bridge.
Maybe neither does he.
That would not make an interesting bridge game.
That's true. I also don't know how to play. Okay, so either a really nonsensical bridge game, if none of us know how, or if they know, an incredibly one-sided bridge game. Either way, not very interesting. But here's the thing. I don't think you partner up with your same universe buddy.
Mm.
I think it's Good William and Evil William versus Good Tony and Evil Tony. So if they know how to play bridge, which seems like the evil thing to do, right? Then it gets weird because you have one person who knows and one person who doesn't on each team.
Yeah.
But that thinks so much alike. I still can't make that idea interesting.
I think they just mess with us, you know, because that's the evil thing to do. They'd mess with us.
But what would we do? Okay, so do we have to be the good? Are we good? Or are we just not evil?
I think either way, it's the same result.
Are we neutral? No, but we could be neutral. There could be, like, another dimension with, like, super good
right, but
Tony.
They're irrelevant. They're not here. Only the evil universe us's are here with a... Whether we're neutral, good, whatever, they're going to try to do something evil to us.
I agree that.
And
what I'm saying is, what will we attempt? And I think that varies depending on whether we're relatively neutral.
I suppose that's true.
Or good.
But I think we can presume that whether we're good or neutral, they'll know which one we are, and so they'll know what to do.
Yes.
In order to...
But will we try and thwart their evil attempt
at us?
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
Or will we... martyr ourselves to them, turn the other cheek, as it were.
I see.
Will we attempt to trick them into goodness?
Trick them into goodness.
I like that idea.
I think whatever we do, they will...
We'll be short a penny?
Yeah.
Afterward?
That's what I'm thinking. I think they're going to win either way. The reason I think that is because...
You seem a bit scared of the evil.
No, here's the thing. Whether we're good, whether we're neutral, whatever we are, I think they're more evil than we are whatever else. So that it doesn't even matter. They're going to have our number, and they're going to be able to
have their way. It is possible.
And we'll be taken in by them. That's what I think.
I'm not sure, honestly, the gap between evil Tony and me is that big. I mean, let's be honest. I'm pretty evil already.
Well, that's true. So wait, maybe...
Basically...
Maybe...
As with you, I think the only real difference is I do sometimes leave pennies.
Okay, well, maybe what would happen is all three of you would gang up on me.
That's possible.
Yeah, that's probably what would
happen.
That's
possible.
I would have no allies here.
No.
I would be done.
So it would be like now,
only
but with two more people.
There'd be another Tony, which
yes,
and who's just slightly more evil. So
who just won't give pennies?
Yeah, and then the evil version of me.
Yes,
who will take the Tony's side probably? I imagine.
I'm just saying, it. You with no allies is not a new thing. The only difference here is population.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm saying I hate you, is what I'm saying.
I know, but...
I feel like I wasn't clear enough. You disgust me, and...
Three times the hate.
The urge to just knee you in the crotch and the face is almost a physical issue that I have to deal with.
Hmm.
Constantly.
So I'd probably get beat up.
I imagine.
Yeah. Right.
Like a high school reunion, really.
Yeah.
I just figure. Hmm. Shout... What?
Is there an evil producer?
There must be an evil producer.
Oh, God, there's such a great line there.
What?
For those of you who don't have my wife secretly mic'd, the producer asked if there was an evil producer.
And there has to be.
Well, since you're so clearly a good producer, then yes, somewhere else... There must be an evil one.
I'm full of light and rainbows, don't forget.
She's full of light and rainbows.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I believe what you're supposed to say is, I'm full of light and rainbows, you fucker.
Yeah, I'm reliant on Paul for that.
But you know you're not picked up on the mic, so... That might be the title of this episode, Full of Light and Rainbows.
Okay, yes, so I'd be doomed, basically, is what it comes down
yes.
to. Okay, well, that's good to know. Let's hope... I mean, I hope that never happens, because I'd rather not be doomed.
Is the answer.
So you're probably thinking, this would be pretty sweet if they came over here.
I feel like there would be arm wrestling involved in some capacity, and I don't enjoy physical activity.
Oh. Yeah, but neither does the other Tony, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, I feel like the situation would somehow warrant arm wrestling.
Okay.
It just feels like a thing.
All right, then.
Is it your turn?
Yep, there's your answer, Mark.
Congratulations.
I'm sure lots of people were wondering the same thing.
If you save your proof of purchase, you get $1 off any large pizza that we are willing to sell you.
Dear Magical Talking Hat, which fictional fantasy world would you want to visit? And there, it's kind of a multiple choice. Middle Earth. Westeros? Westeros?
The Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. Forgotten Realms. Is it Eberron or Eberron?
Eberron is how I always pronounced it.
What's that?
It's another D&D world.
Oh. Or the world of Dark Crystal, and that's from Vermont.
I feel like we had a much more open-ended version of this question a while back, and we could not answer it for shit. So this might be better.
Really?
Didn't we have something about if we could visit some fictitious world?
I think we did, but I don't remember.
I think we had trouble answering it, because I think we didn't really want to.
Oh.
This
is better to give us a choice.
We have options that we must take.
I don't know anything about Game of Thrones, but Well, I shouldn't say that. We watched the first episode, and I was so unimpressed we didn't watch anymore. I know it's really popular and everything, but it didn't do anything for me, so.
All right, so that rules that out.
For me.
You don't know shit about Eberron.
No, but didn't you say it was...
It's a D&D world.
Just like Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, but it's not just like that. I mean, it's a different D&D setting.
But it's the same kind of thing.
I don't know, Eberron to me, I mean, don't have a lot of experience with it, but it's a bit more dystopian and post-apocalyptic to me than some of the others.
But it's not a sword and sorcery?
It is, it's a fantasy-based, I believe it's lower fantasy, I believe it has some sort of technology stuff. It has some people called Warforged that are basically artificial beings. And stuff like that, but it's still essentially fantasy, yes.
Mm. Okay. Do you have an answer? I mean,
I'm trying to get you there first.
Yeah.
All right, so we're left with Forgotten Realms, Dark Crystal World, and Middle Earth.
Yeah.
So those are your three left.
Well, I have to think about it. You go ahead.
All right. So I'm back at 5. Eberron, as I said, seems a little dark and dystopian for me. I don't think it would be a fun place to hang out. I'm going to get rid of that. Westeros is very seriously medieval, which I don't enjoy. There's the weird feudalistic stuff, and I'm not into that. So Westeros is out. What was the first one?
Middle Earth.
I always forget Middle Earth. Middle Earth is a contender. Forgotten Realms is a contender. And Dark Crystal is a contender, and there are some issues with all three of them. I feel like Forgotten Realms, as long as I didn't go looking for trouble, is probably the most comfortable. Like, you could just go and not... It wouldn't be especially dangerous and things. Like, because unless... That's one of those, unless you go seeking adventure, you know? Things are kind of calm and shit. Dark Crystal World, I think, seems gorgeous and wonderful. It feels like it would be very dangerous, because it seems very wild. So it'd be like visiting the Amazonian rainforest. Like, that stick over there is actually a bug that will kill you. but it seems really gorgeous and things. Middle Earth seems the sort of in between those two in terms of cool shit to see, but also relatively more stable. I might go for Middle Earth. I think it might be Middle Earth. So I really should plan a trip to New Zealand, in other words. This seems to be really troubling you.
Well, Dark Crystal, it's never occurred to me. I mean, I like Dark Crystal, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Jim Henson and all that stuff. But it's never occurred to me to, like, oh, that'd be cool to live in that world or whatever. Just, that's never occurred to me. The reason Forgotten Realms is kind of high on the list is because I've actually played, you know, video games in that setting, and I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
So I guess to that extent, I can imagine myself in that place and liking it.
Yeah.
That's
probably my second choice. So.
And, you know, really for me, like, I haven't played Skyrim, but I've watched a lot of Skyrim being played. And even in playing Skyrim, I still think of it in those Forgotten Realms terms. You know, the towns are similar. The, you know, the creatures are similar and everything. And so, you know, so when I see Forgotten Realms on this card, I immediately think of all kinds of things in that.
Well, and situation. Forgotten Realms quickly became the default setting for D&D for quite a long time.
And so that seems very familiar and comfortable to me. I mean, I've imagined that world and being in it a lot. Middle Earth is very similar to Forgotten Realm, but it seems less, because most of my experience with Middle Earth is through the movies.
Yeah.
It seems less rich. It's like really Middle Earth and Forgotten Realms are kind of the same thing, except one has a lot more interesting things going on.
You know a lot more backstory of Forgotten Realms as a world.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, it's hard to pick between them because they seem so similar to me. I don't really see much of a difference except one. My experience with it makes it seem more interesting. So I guess just if I had to pick one, I would have to pick, I guess, Forgotten Realms. But I'd like to know more about the Eberron one because dystopian, you know, I'm not a big fan of being in a dystopian situation, but the whole artificial life form thing sounds kind of interesting.
And
I usually like stories that have that kind of element in them.
I'm a little surprised Pandora is not on this list given how many people apparently in their real life desperately did wish they lived there and like wanted to kill themselves because Pandora was so cool. Which again doesn't make any sense to me because pretty much everything on that planet would kill you.
From Avatar?
From Avatar, yeah.
Seriously.
People got way the fuck into that. People genuinely like went to doctors of feelings of depression, the fact that they could not live on Pandora.
Okay, that's interesting.
And so that's the thing, people, movies will ruin your life. Don't do that. But again, the same thing, like, those things are gorgeous and they make great settings for movies and stuff like that, but it would actually kill you. Like, I don't ever want to go visit the Amazonian rainforest. It would be cool, but the odds of me dying are way too high. I don't like that, is what I'm saying.
So you picked Middle Earth in the end?
Yeah, but Forgotten Realms is close.
Yeah. I'd say it's kind of a toss-up there, really.
I like the idea of just hanging out with the hobbits. Well, and we just, like, eat and smoke all day.
Honestly, the Shire is, a big draw.
Well, it's what you get out of the visit. Like, I don't think I'm going to be exploring and adventuring a lot. I'm, like, trying to think of, like, why would I want a vacation? I'm like, you know? Sounds nice.
Right. I mean, I mostly imagine the towns are so cool. And, you know, just maybe living there or having a shop or something would be kind of fun. I would say more than that, the Shire would be, because, you know, when I watch the films and they talk about the Shire, it really reminds me of, you know, where I come
Melchior
from.
Melchior Dallas. Oh my God.
I'm sorry, but it does. You know, farmers, you know, simple people that aren't looking for a lot of aggravation in their lives.
And on their 11-first birthday, they give gifts to everyone else.
I'm just saying.
They're all very short.
I think
they have very hairy feet.
I think Tolkien was sort of trying to celebrate
Iowa.
No, country folk, rural folk. When he, you know, created
midgets,
this diminutive race, you know, that a lot of people are going to underestimate, because not just because of their size. I mean, that's something he dramatized through their size, but also because
they underestimated. Like, you look like you're about 5'2". Well, and the Hobbit would be like, I'm 5'3". Fuck you.
But, you know, people in the real world who had a similar lifestyle were also underestimated because they lived in the country. They might not have had the same kind of education, but, you know, they were salt of the earth people.
Yes. And then socially, years later, there was a major backlash fronted by Randy Newman, who wrote Short People.
God, no reason to live, yeah.
Yes. And
well, so, you know, when I came to the University of Iowa...
You were shorter?
No, when I came to the University of Iowa, people called other people farmer as an insult.
Yes.
I know I've probably said that before, but I just thought that was amazing, considering what state we live in.
Because to grow your own food is terrible.
It was obviously associated with stupidity and, yes, you know, backwardness. And
now they call them myopic internet billionaire.
So, yeah, I guess Middle Earth, Forgotten Realms, kind of a toss-up. But basically, the Shire or, you know...
Baldur's Gate,
yeah. What are those places?
Is there another city in Forgotten Realms?
Oh, yeah, I mean, plenty, but that's just the popular one. That's the one everybody knows.
All right, so... it's time for fireworks.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vermond, Mark, and Kia.
Yes. You should write the hat as well, all of you. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. You should also go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, and comment on things. You know? Things.
Yeah, why not?
All right, so...
It'll be fun.
And now, fireworks.
And watermelon.
I don't know the sound of watermelon.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.